Welcome, guys, to the VHS Vault. I'm your host, Jason. With me is Jason the Skittish Pigeon, which I think it's
I'll
a joke
take
from
this,
another
show. I'll take the Skittish Pimp, too, if you want.
And, of course, our guest is back, Fighting Dub.
He's good to get rid of him.
And he's ready to go.
I'm ready to fight. Right, Teddy?
Yeah. Now, this week, guys, being our second episode, we are watching, and we have watched, Ator, the Invincible, or known to the rest of the Western world as Ator the Fighting Eagle.
Yeah.
I will do my best not to call it Ator the Flying Eagle, as I've been doing all week.
Yeah. Now, some of you who do watch the channel may know we attempted to watch this live on YouTube the other night.
Crash and burn!
We do apologize to our YouTube overlords who quickly took us off the stream and would not let us allow us to watch it. Lesson learned. But either way, we got to watch it, didn't we, guys? We've all now seen Ator the Fighting Eagle.
We have had the Ator experience.
Yes. Let's get into a bit of background info. Now, initially, I hadn't heard of this film until we spun it on the wheel.
Who the hell put that on the wheel?
That guy.
Yeah, that guy over there.
It was me.
Was this revenge for the box of Shreddies?
I actually haven't even opened the box of Shreddies yet. I'll do that on the next Captain Squadron.
I'll do it on the next Captain Squadron. I will have a live tasting. All right, cool.
Now, this film was made in 1982, so it is now 41 years old, I would believe, which is pretty crazy, you think.
It's as old as
me. And it is a Italian/American co-production. So it is
you can tell because all the warriors are doing this.
And it was common in those days, wasn't it? I mean, I remember seeing a lot of B-grade films that were from that had that mix of Italian production, but you know, American audiences. Obviously, the most famous trilogy being the Good and Bad and Ugly trilogy.
Spaghetti Western.
Yeah, so look, Italian filmmakers are very interesting filmmakers. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this one here, well, what can I say? Made in Italy, filmed, I think, as Jason said earlier before the show, guerrilla style. I don't know if they were really officially a sanctioned film over there. But, yep, it was made in 1982. And the thing is, although it had all American actors, I believe, except for there's a couple that are Italian, is a completely Italian production crew with it. So that's a bit of a background. It was released here in America in 1983, but actually had its initial release a year earlier in Italy, is world premiere. Oh. Starring Miles O'Keefe. Does anybody know who Miles O'Keefe is besides this movie?
Oh,
he was in Tarzan.
Yes.
Correct.
He was in Tarzan the Ape Man, because I could not picture where I'd seen him before, and that's where I've seen him. He's got a thing for loincloths.
He has. Sure does. But he wasn't seen much after this film. I can say that very much. His career didn't go
I guess you could say he doesn't have miles of resume.
He was also in Ator 2, La Invincible Returns, and The Iron Warrior.
There is a sequel. Director, I know that.
No,
there is a sequel.
It was not. There is a sequel.
No, because the director had a real problem with Miles O'Keefe throughout the production, said that he couldn't articulate himself correctly and gave very bad line readings, which I kind of agree with as we get through this film.
Miles O'Keefe
isn't the strongest actor, but he is supported by a lot of B-grade actors in this film.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the strength of this film. The strength of this film really is in the plot, and we'll get into that because we've all seen it the first time.
Nothing like Jason, a drum kit.
I'm going to throw it to you. You watched this for the first time. What did you feel after seeing it?
After the stinger?
After seeing it. Sorry,
oh,
that's the Aussie
accent. Okay, I was like, what's a stinger? You guys know my thoughts because I messaged you and I said, I'm not going to lie, I kind of loved this movie. I genuinely do. I'm going to say right now, I recognize it's not a good movie.
No,
it's not. It's cheap. The acting's bad. The special effects are bad. But I admire A-Tor because you can tell they had no budget, and yet they did all of these very imaginative things to varying degrees of success. But I enjoy the I enjoy the stick-with-itness.
The campiness. You know,
campiness, the guerrilla-style filmmaking that they did where they made...
They definitely shot a lot of this in a park.
Oh, yes, they did. And you guys were pointing it out during our very ill-fated live watch that some of the extras are wearing jeans and...
yep.
It was bring your own wardrobe day.
You know, the climax that I don't want to spoil is pretty much what you expect, but it's also...
I'm happy with it too.
It's just so cheesy and it's crazy. And you know somebody made that in their garage and like they're moving the legs going, rah, rah.
You know this film?
I just loved it. It was just silly.
I think you would agree with this, Jason, that and Joe. This film goes in directions that I didn't expect. There's a couple of twists in this film.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, bravo, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Really well.
And
done.
Sometimes there a twist happens, you're like, eh.
What?
Yeah, like the She-Ra ripoff or Red Sonja ripoff that they had, the blonde chick.
Oh man, there are ripoffs everywhere. I would say may have perhaps ripped off a certain move he does in this film when he holds the sword up high.
Oh yeah.
Isn't this movie pre-He-Man, or at least before He-Man
became?
Mitchell.
I mean, come on, A-Tor's costume
was very much He-Man.
Kind of looks like He-Man's, girdle or whatever you call it. Yeah.
Can I say I did like the costumes?
Yeah,
I did like that main costume. It actually felt like, he's wearing something quite big, but it seemed still practical. He could move around in it, and. Normally to have a big giant chest plate there is holding, it's not showing the best parts of someone's bod. I mean, he's fit. He's not like Jack like.
Not in that one. In the next movie, he's Jack.
Is he?
Yeah.
You watched the sequel, did you,
Joe? I want to see the sequel now.
Have you seen the sequel, Joe?
No, I saw the photos and I remember the Tarzan movie. And the Tarzan movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a sequel until today.
Miles O'Keefe looks the part. There's no doubt about it.
He's definitely got leading man looks. He's got the chiseled jaw and the amazing cheekbones and of course the '80s mane.
Oh, that mane! Oh, it's a mane, really.
It's beautiful. Hair, it? It's beautiful. I'm jealous.
Yeah, and certainly specific of the time, and certainly in a lot of time movies did this. It starts off blonde at the top, goes light brown, then there's dark roots. It's got that very, specific. He spent most of the time not in wardrobe, but in the hair and makeup.
Absolutely. That's where 75% of the budget for this movie went. That's why we didn't get a fully articulated spider at the end. It's because Miles O'Keefe hair.
I mean, it is very much it's a journeyman story, isn't it? It's your Malcolm Gladwell. What am I thinking of, Jason? That hero's journey of like Star Wars, like everything else.
It's like Highlander and Conan.
It's that hero's got to go out of his comfort zone, cross the threshold, go through trials and tribulations and all that very familiar.
Tale as old as time.
Yep.
Tale as old as time. But, there's some really good things. The opening of this is very slow, this movie, I thought.
Yes.
The whole concept.
Awkward, yes. Very awkward.
Very awkward. Awkward because he's going to marry his sister.
Yes.
Yeah. That's legit. I watched it twice to confirm that. He's going to marry his sister.
Yes.
The whole community's behind it, too.
Yeah.
They're in for it.
We need to change the rules so I can knock up my sister like we used to do.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Oh, good news. She's not actually your sister. She's not. Oh.
Dumb. Yeah, right.
Someone saw Star Wars and went, you know what? Let's just forget about the whole thing. And they're going to marry each other.
Yeah.
It's like if Luke and Leia knew from the beginning and didn't care.
Right. We're Jedi.
But it feels like it's a good 20 minutes, this opening scene. And we get a really long... When did the Raiders come from the Spider Empire? What's the name? The Spider Cult.
The Spider Cult, yes.
Yeah.
Which obviously has a great villain.
Was a total knockoff of Thulsa Doom from Conan.
Yes. Yes. Great value, James Earl Jones.
Yeah, it was great. Now, we can't afford James Earl Jones.
He's a good-looking villain, though.
He is. Actually, that wardrobe was cool.
Do you know the actor's name?
No.
Dakar. D-A-K-A-R.
Oh, that's Dakar.
Do you know what his name in the film is? Dakar, which is 1K.
Oh.
So well, at least it was easy for him to get into the part, I guess.
To
me, he kind of looked like a... he looked like Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, with some good old disco eyeshadow.
So I just kept expecting him to just bring up, "Hello there, children."
I love the fact that he was game with the spiders, though.
He was just playing with those little dudes.
And it's the same with the sister that he doesn't marry. She's cool with the spiders too. So kudos, because I don't think I would be. And I come from the land of spiders.
Oh, you know, tarantulas are just like fuzzy little puppies. That's all they are. Fuzzy little puppies with fangs.
They must have one of those little Hawaiian ticky-ticky things they got cursed from. Sorry, that's a Brady Bunch reference.
I'm so sad.
It would go over your head.
I'm so sad that I knew the reference instantly.
But
the star of this film, the real star of the film, is this little guy here.
The bear. Yeah, totally. Totally.
He definitely picks up Ator's slack, because Ator is honestly the worst hero.
He's terrible at everything he does. I saw Keogh and I'm going, what is that white painter? And I figured out who he is, who he really is, guys. It's cocaine bear. when he just started out.
Time has done numbers on a lot of young.
Well, that's what happens. You're doing coke for 40 years. You're going to be angry, aren't you?
That will be the best movie of 2023. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. It probably will be. Yeah.
And wouldn't it be amazing if they turn around and they make reference to Ator? I would just go, I called it. No, Cocaine Bear looks incredible. But what a well-trained little bear, because they had him running all through that movie everywhere, didn't they?
They starved him, and then they had like some honey in there. I'm so hungry, please. I've been following these idiots for 4 miles. I've saved this poor woman four times. Ator, do something. Quit brushing your hair.
If you break this film down beat by beat, so his girlfriend or his sister gets captured. He goes chasing after her. He finds himself amongst a group of Amazonian women kind of thing.
That was my favorite part.
Every barbarian movie, they always come across a tribe of Amazonians.
Thankfully.
Who want to kill them, but also want to sleep with them at the same time.
Yeah.
Because that's the agenda, isn't it? The agenda is the prisoner is yours for the tonight. Then you must kill him.
Yeah.
We make snoo snoo tonight.
Death by snoo snoo.
You want to talk about awful acting. That blonde chick that went along with him. You could tell they were going toe-to-toe who could do the worst line delivery, because the most painful thing is those two kind of dialoguing.
Yeah.
And it's her motivation that she could be changed instantly. You're going to sleep with me and then I'm going to kill you. I actually love someone else. I've changed my mind now. Let me come with you. I'm still a little treasure. That is literally how it went down.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you will be in great danger and I will never save you.
But some of the really cool things about this is where is he here? I've got the picture of him, and that is Danny Trejo. I'm basically trying to find the picture of
Ator's
Danny
mentor.
Trejo, who basically is introduced in the prologue as the guy who steals Ator as a baby, and then delivers him to somebody. That really delivers them to those villages.
It's like great value Charles Bronson.
Exactly
right. But he has one of the best twists, because I tell you what, he is pitched in this movie, and all the way through the movie, he comes in at certain times to be the mentor, the Obi-Wan Kenobi type, someone who's there to train Ator. And I love the training sequence. I've got to say, I like that training sequence. If you've ever played any Zelda games, It kind of reminds you when you first get the sword in the Wind Waker and you've got to find a guy. But I liked it. But the biggest twist, and you guys would be better than me at this, maybe, but I didn't see the twist that he was actually the spider high priest the whole time.
I don't think anybody saw that coming because I honestly think they came up with it on the set that day. It's like, hey, you know what would be really funny? Especially since he comes out of nowhere. I mean, literally, Ator is getting the girl out of the web, and you just see this, you just see this hand come in and goes, stop.
Yeah.
He was standing 3 feet in front of Ator the entire time. Ator never said any stop. You know, I cannot let you do that. Oh, quit messing around. Help me untie her. No, really. I can't let you do that. No, it's not funny anymore. No, you don't understand. I'm the twist villain. Ator, not understand. Draw a Ator picture.
Yeah, well, Danny Trejo did a good job either way. So I'm going to
wish Danny Trejo.
I reckon they spent a bit too much time with old Keogh the Cocaine Bear, and then they came up with a lot of idea. But there was a couple of really cool sequences there. I like him fighting his own shadow.
That was cool. I mean,
I really like that idea.
The budget for that part was non-existent, and I admit I laughed out loud at the way that it was resolved.
Right.
Because again, Ator is the worst hero, and the girl, I can't remember her name, so she's just girl.
Boone or something like that.
Boobs. I don't know. Like
who knows?
Just the fact that she just takes. Cheeks. She's watching him fight his shadow for like a good 2 or 3 minutes, and then she just picks up a cloth and puts it over the thing. It's like, you're welcome.
Over.
Thanks for saving me from that cave, by the way. You're welcome. I was talking to the bear.
Oh my god.
And then, hey, another sequence I really did like, and I'm going, oh no, here we go. But I actually was laughing at the end of it. It's the scene where he gets trapped by a sorceress. I would say a sorceress or a witch.
Oh,
really define that, which she is. There's a sequence, obviously, where Rune gets trapped, and then they lure Ator, and she's beautiful witch by the looks. By the way, how dumb Ator is. Someone gives you a cup, right? Yep, I'm drinking it. I'm not even questioning it.
You're friendly, right? I'm good.
Here, Ator, drink this, please. You can try. Oh, you already drank it. Ator, like drinky drink, have more.
If they had done that voice, the movie would have been so much better. That just went.
Ator likes sister.
You would have been rooting for Ator way more, too. You would have been going, he's a special hero we need.
Hat bear. Ow, sword bites. Ator, no lie.
Oh, my God.
And you can see him picking up a key on, I'm going to pet him, and I'm going to hug
pet him and love him forever.
Some of the worst special effects ever created.
They tried.
The spider at the end, not the main spider, but the spider when Rune is caught in the Sonya is in the web, and all we get to see is a couple of flappy legs and half a body. When Grima gets caught in the web. And they don't have the effects to make it even closer. It's just a close up of him screaming and then a close up of the spider legs.
Yeah. That's how it ends.
You know, some Key Grips kid made that, you know, for a science fair or something. Like, hey, look what my son made. Oh my gosh, that's brilliant.
We need this for Ator.
To write a new ending.
Oh my god.
The special effects guy, man, he was
Ator need learn more lines. Oh.
Some of the other worst special effects is this one here, the sorceress that I was mentioning about. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where you're not allowed to touch the drape, right? But Rune touches the drape. And then we get the transformation. It's a very what's that story? You know, the one with if you look in the mirror,
the portrait of Dorian Gray.
Of Dorian Gray, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
But look at these guys.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? That looks like they threw porridge on her face.
I'm going to be that guy. Okay. It's supposed to look horrible.
Right.
She's ugly.
Jason, there's no definition.
Like, but look at her tongue.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Is that supposed to be a tongue? I thought that was her bottom lip.
That's her tongue. She's like, Ator, I'm going to get you.
I don't think that's happening.
Acorn, no, also, wants Snoo Snoo no more.
Now, usually the death of the big bad villain is a spectacle, right? It really is. But let's talk about, before we get to the big spider, let's talk about poor Dakar and how he was defeated. In one of the quickest, most stupidest deaths ever.
Just reflects it. That's a reflection.
Yeah. And he just explodes. He's gone. I'm like, okay.
Honestly, you know, it looked like those movies where like the ninja throws down a smoke pellet and gets away. I was like, is he dead? Yeah. Did he escape? What?
I thought he escaped.
I was looking for the other side of the screen in case he was poking behind the curtain where he ran.
Yeah. I'm dead. I'm dead, right? You can't see me.
But the magic thing is, the really good part for me is, and the thing I was begging for out of this movie I got, and that is the big spider fight at the end. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't the spider fight I was thinking, but I love the idea and how he was going to defeat him using that shield.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the reflection, you know, and that way he was able to move up. Obviously wasn't executed the best because he ended up swinging that sword like it's spaghetti. Just trying to, never actually hitting an arm, by the way. He's never,
Ator think this worst pinata ever.
And then when he does kill them, it's like someone poured a glass of orange juice.
It looked like, I thought it was kombucha. Like
sewage or something.
It's kombucha. I was like, it's fizzy. Oh,
there's
like
a bit of the spider there.
Why you can see more
of soup.
You can see a little bit of his fang there because they got the light on him.
It kind of looks like one of the Three Stooges, like that hair, you know.
I don't know. Oh, it doesn't say here on Wikipedia what the budget was.
Oh,
it
500.
Man, they are
500 lira. I don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of clever bits in this movie that kind of covers up their complete lack of budget. The Cave of the Blind Warriors, I thought, it was kind of goofy. The way that they were just kind of like, anytime they got near Ator, they were just like, doing that. But I thought it was actually like a really good idea. Just this cave of these warriors who, if they smell you or if they hear you, they will touch you.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I think that there is such great potential in Ator, the Fighting Eagle, for an honest to goodness quality remake.
Mm.
I think with some budget behind it, it would be really good. Drop the incest stuff. I don't know. Hire Cocaine Bear. I think it would be great.
Yeah. You know what? I would say that this script was a lot stronger reading. I'm sure when the script, they thought they had a winning script here because I reckon it would read really good on the page. The execution is obviously, this is where it falters. And that could be budgetary reasons, creative reasons, but yeah, you're 100% right, Jason. If they just tweaked a few things, you could do this. You could do this quite well.
Yeah.
This actually has potential to go on. We know there's a sequel. We just found that out.
Yeah.
But you could do a season of this on a streaming series and have something very good. Maybe drop the Mordor reference at one point and they're doing it. Besides that, some really good ideas because it is classic mythology. But there is enough interesting ideas in it to kind of make it work. You know, and I appreciate it because I'm going, okay, he's picked up Boone. Now he's going to pick up another character. It'll be a squad of four people all on an adventure. I kind of appreciated that. It was just kind of him and her. Their motivations were pretty defined. So we knew from the characters that Rune was just after the money. Right. And he was after his sister because he really wanted to bang his sister.
I really liked Rune's introduction after he saves her and says, you know, why were those men trying to rob you? They weren't robbing me. I was robbing them.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
That was cool.
Ator made boo-boo.
That's it. Yeah, could you reckon they could rewrite it for special needs to make Ator special needs?
I would honestly make Ator the dumbest character in the entire movie.
Honestly,
you think I'm exaggerating, but seriously, he would be saying his name like Jankum Pog from Prodigy.
Ator
like bear. Bear like honey.
Can either of you explain to me why they called this film The Fighting Eagle in America?
Because remember they had the little eagle that was flapping its wings a bunch of times? That's
yeah, they had the eagle statue that bled from the eyes.
Yeah.
Probably because they...
Yeah, but he's a fighting eagle. I didn't see no eagles fighting shit in this.
he really didn't... Yeah. I don't know. He was really bad at his job. I mean, he gets green killed at the end.
I think Ator the Invincible would be better because it's more appropriate if they just called it that. Because
he's too dumb to get hurt.
But he's got the shield now. He's immortal because he owns that shield now.
Didn't he break the shield, though?
The spider, but he's...
The spider did.
But yeah, does it mean he's immortal because the mirror cracked? Mind you, talk about the worst thing ever. It's clearly a shiny piece of metal, his sword, shield. And in the moment he kills the spider, it's clearly someone's just got a mirror.
Yeah, it just went
on a bit of cardboard.
Yeah.
Like, well.
Ator breaks shield.
I would still say he's immortal. I reckon he's still immortal. I hope he is. Because
Ator is walking the earth right now, walking around, you know, just... watching our podcast right now. They talk about Ator.
I really miss Keog the cocaine bear.
Oh, man. Cocaine bear.
You know I'm not going to be able to see cocaine bear without going to see
it. And not think about Keog. Ator. Yeah.
Ator so happy for Keog. Make big movie.
Oh, here's a shot of that bot we mentioned earlier.
Fucking...
Hey, man.
Oh, my God. Here's a good shot.
If you reimagine that today with special effects,
we don't.
Technically, that'd be a very Peter Pan shadow right there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why Peter Pan was so desperate to get a shadow because he knew it was going to go bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go. Hey.
Oh, God.
This is great. I love this.
I mean, she's a really fit, too. She had great
eyes. I'll be saying the spider in the background, which we can't quite see there, is he a capable? Did he spin that really rope like web there?
No,
he must have been constipated.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But I like the fact we've got a set of bones there and a bit of meat, human meat, I assume.
Yeah.
So these things pretty brutal when he gets at you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really fun. And you talked about it really got shot in one location. That's obviously this location.
Yeah.
That's the theater. That's the theater set. Same, yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's not a set. They utilized it
really well. Really well. Yes,
they did. And it's I was saying as a theater major, I really dug I dug that set because I'm watching it going, yeah, it's like the theater.
It's an amphitheater.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
It's an amphitheater, yeah. Yeah, so they don't have to. They can make the best use of the microphones.
That theater has probably been sitting there for thousands of years. It was probably you probably saw some of the greatest actors in history, and then it was
Ator
for Ator, the fighting eagle.
But you can tell when they added their own set dressing. There's a few pillars throughout that amphitheater.
Yes, the ones that were made of styrofoam. Yes.
Yeah, that are freshly painted gray. The old amphitheater, like they so stand out. It's
amphitheater look like giant toilet.
Yeah,
but yeah, look, we can't really pick on that stuff because, like we said, I mean, this spider here, I mean, this is the worst, right?
I just love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a hard one. I suppose we've got to kind of we got to sell it to people. Why should they go?
If you have a hunkering for a delicious combination of Conan the Barbarian and He-Man and wanted to see those two worlds collide, but on a very, 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 very small budget, then you've got to watch Ator the Invincible.
Oh, well, Joe, well done, mate. Well done. That was
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Better pitch than I was going to give. I was going to go, look, you know, if you're very drunk or you're on the influence of something, mushrooms, edibles, whatever, this is amazing. No, ideally, you know what? This film I thought was going to be R-rated. I thought this was going to be like, we're going to see ultraviolence, we're going to see nudity and all that. But they didn't do that.
No.
They went and tried to make a fantasy adventure film for everyone. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And in the time of 1982, you know, and you've got a small budget to pull out a film like this, which does have plot twists and turns, which even though we have some of the worst acting, is rather enjoyable after the first 20 minutes. I think it's worth having a look at for sure, because It's something you could introduce to even your kids. If you've got a kid around 8 years old, I'd let them watch this. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. I think they would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that the ambition is there. I think that the people who made the movie had all these gigantic goals. I don't think that they quite hit them, but I think the end result is a very flawed, kind of laughable, but extremely enjoyable movie. And if you do want to watch it and don't think you want to sit through it, there was a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode that did A Tour of the Fighting Eagle, and an episode of Riff Tracks did it. Yes,
yeah, Riff Tracks. Yeah.
I haven't seen them yet, but I want to now.
Look, I'd have to go back and rewatch them, but I reckon even back in the early 80s, I was watching films that were worse than this.
Way worse.
So this is definitely not bottom of the barrel, far as I'm concerned.
No.
Once you get used to the pacing, it's a fun movie. I will say I'm glad that I saw this movie. And I wouldn't have thought a week ago I was going to be glad about seeing this movie.
So it's nice to know you guys have finally stopped cussing me then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've still got a voodoo doll here we're working on. But, yeah, besides that, we're over it.
That explains the big bloody spot on my side.
Okay. So,
I don't know if you'll forgive me after the 6 or 7 other movies that I've slid in.
Yeah, and believe it or not, this week we're spinning the randomizer.
No, because
we already have our next movie decided as part of the retrospective series. Next week, we go back to Camp Crystal Lake.
Indeed.
To check out Friday the 13th, Part 2. The body count continues.
The bag years.
Yeah, so we're going back. And just to remind you folks how the show works, every month we'll spin a wheel to see what we're going to watch besides the Friday the 13th movies, but every month we'll be watching a different Friday the 13th movie. It actually came out way more confusing than I was intending. So there you go. You'll figure it out.
Friday the 13th every other week. How about that?
Yeah.
Every other show. Once a month, guaranteed.
For 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Longer than that.
We're talking Friday the 13th. We haven't discussed the fact that we have a series coming out this year called Camp Crystal Lake.
The second Friday the 13th series.
Oh.
Yes. The original was more of an anthology series. Though,
yes,
wasn't
but
it?
It was good. And I enjoyed it.
It was good. So we've got lots of Friday the 13th to talk about this
year.
So check us out in 2 weeks for Friday the 13th Part 2. It promises to be a bit of fun. And you know what? The main character of this entire franchise is in this movie. So,
Finally. Yeah.
Yes. But not the completed form that we know. So get ready for that.
It's proto.
All right, guys. Does anybody else have anything to add? Otherwise, we're getting out of here, guys.
Well, just make sure when you see a Spider King that you have a good old pocket mirror ready just in case you need to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think that they could have seriously just beaten the bad guy with a rolled up newspaper.
Shoot!
Ator, no like you. Smash. Ator, get snoo now.
Poor Miles O'Keefe. He's sitting back somewhere having a beer looking at this guy. What the fuck, man? I'm just trying to make money, you know?
Yeah.
Who are these people? Is he American?
I thought he was Irish. O'Keefe?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who are these people?
Are enjoying it.
Don't who the fuck are these people?
Subscribe to the channel, guys. Come on, guys. I'm right in trying to do the pitch. Get this out of here.
All right.
Now, please subscribe to the channel.
Okay, anytime you're ready.
Getting shitty at these guys way more. It doesn't cost you anything, but it's important to us, so please do it. And, of course, you can follow all of us on TikTok at Joe at DisDungeonCQ, myself at VHS Jace, and the only one who's actually really popular on TikTok at Jason Roy Gaston, who dominates that franchise, who's a slave to his Chinese masters. So.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And Miles O'Keefe is from Mississippi.
Oh.
Is he?
That explains the sister thing.
Yeah, now we get it. There it is.
Okay. I would like to apologize to the entire state of Mississippi, but I don't want to.
Let's get out of here. See you guys. We'll see you on the next.